Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to a special edition of the Deep Dive, here with Andy on a Sunday morning, breaking down the handicapping of the Academy Awards, which go off tonight. We have an outstanding year for betting the Oscars. There is, this thing is wide freaking open, Andy, and there are opportunities to make money up and down the board here. I've seen, you know, I've bet the Oscars every year for fun. The missus loves watching it every year. We make a, you know, she has a big deal and brings all the people over to the house to watch, and it's a fun experience. So I always usually, you know, either we usually play a pool where everybody votes on their ballot and winner gets, you know, gets a little take home, or been, since there's been more props available, we've been betting the Oscars the last couple of years. And it's starting to get a little traction. I opened up the five dimes yesterday to start this handicap here, and there's like 500 props for the Oscars. That's an exaggeration, obviously, but did you look at all these props? This looks like a lot of fun.
I was on an arbitrage calculator figuring out how to scalp money off the top three. Unless I pushed out because I worry about Lady Bird.
Of course, I was
looking at, you know, if you just started with a $100 bet on what was it? Three billboards. It was even money at five dimes. And then it was a 66-67 bet on the Shape of Water, which is 2-1 at sportsbook.ag. And then you can get 9-1 on Get Out at my bookie for like $20 and free $13.
There you go, man.
And that is how Lady Bird won the best Oscar, and Andy lost about $200.
Dude,
trying to win 13.
The odds on Lady Bird are shocking to me. Same for the odds on Get Out and Lady Bird are both shocking to me. I don't think Three Billboards wins. I don't love the Shape of Water as Best Picture. I might sprinkle a little Get Out and a little bit of Lady Bird, and see if we can't catch a big number here on these two. I'm looking at Get Out at 700 and Lady Bird at 1300. Those are nice odds. But before we get into that, have you bet the Oscars before? Is this something you care about at all? The Academy?
I'm glad. I actually thought about this yesterday as far as we joked about the anthem props and some of the other stuff I've bet. And I just started like making a list, and this might be a thing we do sometime. I made a list of everything I've ever bet, you know, just not getting as specific as different kinds of NFL bets, but, you know, NFL, NCAA, the Oscars, you know, soccer, tennis. I went down and I got to like 50 different things.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I started to look up that
phone number. Contest.
Yeah. Yeah. The hot dog contest kept popping up. Like, boy, there's a lot of things that I wager on during the year.
I've never lost a bet on a hot dog contest. I'm undefeated lifetime handicapping the hot dog contest. That one's no joke, man. Spelling bee.
Well.
You ever bet on the spelling bee?
That was on the list. I've bet on the spelling bee. No, the hot dog contest too. That's, man, they're, if you do, it's like everything else with these Oscars, you know, we're reading other stuff. There's always something to read about. Like there's prelims. They're doing like warm up hot dog eating contests a month before.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no.
You got to go to the hot dog eating contest Reddit.
Yeah, pretty much. I have read up a little on the Oscars, but man, there's just so much. Best Picture is my head twisted right now. Where I'm in the same camp as you are. Where I'm looking for the best possible odds on Get Out and Lady Bird, and I'm gonna sprinkle $20 on each of them.
Okay.
And just hope something happens like that, or a field wins against Three Billboards, something along those lines.
We haven't really set up how we're going to do this pod, but Best Picture is the last one they announced in the program. So let's save it. Let's save our handicap on Best Picture for the very end. Last year, I don't know, you probably remember this, and maybe the listeners who bet the Oscars remember this as well, but the favorite, La La Land, they were a little bit of a juicy favorite. If I remember, they might have been like minus 200 ish.
Yeah, I turned it off after they won.
Well, that's This was a big deal because it turned out that Warren Beatty had the wrong envelope up there and read Lyle. And when that was like the best actress, winning envelope, and Jimmy Kimmel had to run out and say, "Oh no, there's been a mistake. This is not actually the winner. It's Moonlight." And that was a swing. That was a bad beat for people who bet La La Land. That was a.
Can you imagine that being the last leg of like a six?
Oh, I'm sure it happened. I remember at the time people on Twitter just beating their chests like, "Yes, La La Land, lock of the year. I told you guys." And then 5 minutes later, just being like, all those tweets were deleted. Like there was definitely a lot of that going on that gambling.
Yeah, the old Hillary Clinton La La Land Falcons Moneyline parlay.
Three guaranteed winners right there, man.
Three winners.
So yeah, that was a funny story from last year. Through the years, like, I've had some fun, memorable upsets. You always kind of remember the upsets. I don't know, let's start out with supporting actress and supporting actor, because those kind of come up first in the program. Some years these categories are like, there are slam dunks. Like there's an actor or an actress in the field who's like an up and coming, a rising star. Alicia Vikander last year, great example. Like there was no doubt in anyone's mind she was going to win Best Supporting Actress. They wanted to give her an award. They wanted to elevate her profile. She had a role that was prestigious, I guess. It wasn't a very good movie or a very good performance, in my opinion. But then again, that's not how Oscars work. So if you're just getting started in this, do not bet with your heart here. You have to legitimately figure out like what the Academy is up to in terms of how they want to deliver these awards. The votes generally come in blocks. You have like a technical block who generally vote for the film. They vote down the card on the film that they think was the most spectacularly made. They make that judgment just based on how difficult it was to make, more than any other aspect. And so a lot of times you'll see movies sweep the cards technically that you'd be like, well, that didn't have the best visual effects, but you don't realize like the people who make movies realize, oh, this particular movie was very, very difficult to make. Therefore it's going to, get awards on production design and, visual effects, sound effects, sound mixing, editing, like it'll just scoop five awards in one sweep. There's little nuances like that in terms of how the Academy votes that you got to factor into this sort of stuff. This year there are two heavy favorites in the supporting actress and supporting actor categories, but as I look across the major awards, these look like the two that are most likely going to see an upset. And I feel a little bit better about an upset in the actor category. The actress category may be a foregone conclusion just because Allison Janney is the favorite for I, Tonya, and she's particularly well loved and among the actors. And on top of that, I, Tonya is not likely going to get any other awards. So if they want to acknowledge the movie and they want to acknowledge the production house that was behind this, they probably give Allison Janney the best supporting actress nod here. But I will say that the best performance, and this is like, critics, agree, wholeheartedly on this. The best performance came from Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird. She's lined at +540. you can get +500 for the field over Allison Janney. And so in the off chance that like there is a secret contingent of hardcore Lady Bird lovers among the voters, I took a little 25 to win. When I got the odds, they were +475. So now they're up to
+500 now. So
it's +500 now.
Way to get the best of the number. And also, maybe there isn't an explanation that you have, but rather than betting Laurie Metcalf at +540, you took the field. Are you worried about the Mary J. Blige contingent? Or
a little bit, yeah. I thought Mary J. Blige was pretty awesome. I saw Mudbound on Netflix. That was one of the handful of movies I've actually seen in the field. Mary J. Blige could get some love. But, you know, Allison Janney is like a national treasure. She's been in, you know, there's a lot of reminiscing right now about some of the work that she's done over the years. And people, you know, kind of get to given this opportunity to give Allison Janney sort of a Lifetime Achievement Award, even though this particular performance was a little bit one note and a little bit like over the top and grotesque, like, fine, like she'll probably still get it. So, you know, it's a long shot. I only sprinkled $25 here to win a little under 100 when I bet it, but you could win 125 now because the line's going against me. Yeah, so I was looking for the field over Allison Janney. I got a stronger angle on the field over Sam Rockwell. Let's talk about three billboards a little bit. So Sam Rockwell is, again, he's a well-liked actor among the community. He's done lots of great character work over the years, and to a degree, you know, this is kind of a opportunity to acknowledge what a great actor he is. It's, you know, and Three Billboards had like all the momentum in the world coming into like the earlier part of the awards season. I don't know if you caught wind of this, but, and you can kind of give me your two cents on this, but Three Billboards was heavily promoted, heavily hyped. They pushed it hard for like Golden Globes and for some of the early part of the award season. It stomped. It got lots of wins. And then people actually went and saw the movie. And there are a couple of problematic aspects to, in particular, Sam Rockwell's character.
People don't like his character. They don't like the arc of the character. They don't like how he... like the whole thing. There's people that don't like how he is at the beginning. There's people don't like how he you know, reconciles that character at the end. And there's going to be people that are strictly going to vote for anyone but him.
Right, just out of anger. And like... and. With the supporting actor and the actress awards and director, there's only five nominees, and literally whoever gets the most votes for best is the winner. And so if there's like a contingent of like, you know, 30 or 25% or so of the voting block that's like, you know, screw this movie, screw Sam Rockwell, I really did not like the how they resolved that character. Given that it had nothing to do with Sam Rockwell, right? He acted the lines he was given, right? But, you know, here he sits now, maybe the victim of kind of the character itself. You know, these sort of things happen. And so I could see it go to someone else. And if there's, again, kind of a thought that there is a movie that got snubbed among the nominated movies, it's The Florida Project, a movie I did not see. But Willem Dafoe, you know, kind of the exact opposite story with the character he played was beloved, and he was good and had a great arc. And Willem Dafoe is, again, you know, he's a veteran actor that people love. I could see this go to Dafoe. And so, again, I took the field over Sam Rockwell, getting plus 475 here. Looking for an upset in the supporting actor category. One of these two going to the not favorite. What do you think?
Yeah, I like the looks. I really don't think I'd put any money on the watch. It'll go the other way. I'm much more apt to put some money on Willem Dafoe than anything on going against the powerhouse that is Allison Janney. Janney.
Even though Laurie Metcalf, the beloved sister from Roseanne, you don't think she's going to pull anyone heartstrings?
No, she's just getting started in her. She's got a bit longer ahead of her. These are some people that have been around for, like, Gary Oldman, man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's been around a long time, and he's covered a lot of genre too. You know, and I guess let's talk about actor and actress. These are locks that are, if you can find parlay pieces, maybe, or if you want to like take a swing at like a prop, like all of the, you know, favorites win or something like that. Like maybe that's an angle worth looking at. I'm not going to bet these two categories because I don't see any opportunity to really make any money here. But Gary Oldman looks like he's going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award for Best Actor, even though this isn't his best performance, and it's probably not the best performance amongst the ones nominated. It's just, you know, this is kind of how the voting in Hollywood works.
He's due.
He's due. Yeah. I mean, yeah. He, just, yeah. he did better work in, you know, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and you know,
I liked him as the bad guy in The Professional.
Yeah, he was great in that. I liked him as Commissioner Gordon. He was great as Commissioner Gordon in the Batman trilogy. You know, he's had a lot of, he was Sirius Black for you, listeners who have the kids out there in the Harry Potter movies. Gary Oldman's a great, great guy, great actor. And, you know, he'll get the Lifetime Achievement Hero.
He shot Kennedy. If you want to go away, boy, that's
early 90s. 1991, man. Yeah, the Oliver Stone JFK movie. Yeah, do not watch JFK if you're like 20 something years old and super duper high. Like, it'll blow your mind. Like, you will have a rough experience.
Also, who has that much time? It's like a 4-hour
movie. Like 4 hours. Yeah, so for real.
God, I might watch that now this afternoon.
We'll definitely get high if you watch it. The actress category looks like a lock as well here. It's been 21 years since Frances McDormand won for Fargo. That was absolutely an iconic performance and a really great movie. If you haven't seen Fargo, go back and check that one out. Her performance in Three Billboards looks like, it was outstanding. I didn't see Three Billboards. I don't particularly, have any critique here if she was truly the best actress among these nominated, but she's going to win. She's minus 1400. That's a stay away. The last of the majors maybe worth talking about here is Best Director. Again, this one's weirdly tilted in favor of Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. Did you see The Shape of Water? Do you know what this is about?
I have not. I've heard about it. I listened to a podcast. They talked about it. Apparently, a lady fucks a sea monster. So that's all I know about it.
It's E.T. with sex, basically.
I haven't seen this one. This is one where I could see people getting behind Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, well.
And actually, all four of the underdogs. Like, I can see them being.
Can make a case for every underdog,
getting some steam behind him. Peele with his Get Out, and then
Christopher
Nolan. That'd be one of those for. You know, they can say it's for Dunkirk when he gets nominated, but that's kind of a.
Lifetime.
It's a body of work kind of thing. Absolutely. Just the body of work.
Yeah. We didn't award you for Inception or any of the Bat or Dark Knight. Yeah. Dark Knight was probably his best movie. Inception maybe tied for best movie between those. But I saw Dunkirk. It was a great experience. I got to see it on the IMAX in the theater, and visually it was spectacular. The story was just okay, I thought. It felt a little forced. The kind of they did like a kind of a non-linear timeline part of it that felt a little forced. Like, Christopher Nolan can't just make a normal movie that goes normally. He had to have like a wrinkle like that, and that, you know, for I went with my father-in-law, who is like a huge World War II guy, and he was a little confused by that, and I could see how that was a little bit forced. So I don't know. Christopher Nolan's great. I love his movies, but I don't think he's going to be Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro makes these kind of fairy tale-ish movies with all of these crazy effects and production design and stuff like that.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, I think
if you want to talk about movies, you should get high and watch.
There you go. And people, I think there's consensus that that's his best movie by far, and that should have been given more consideration for Best Picture and Best Director at that time. And so this is maybe a little bit of a makeup call there, where he gets the Oscar for Shape of Water. Greta Gerwig and Peele, Lady Bird and Get Out, they have a groundswell. Greta Gerwig is, again, she's a freaking up and coming darling. Like, people absolutely adore her. She's got three opportunities to win an award here. She could win for director, she could win for screenplay, or she could win for picture, right? And she's played the award season extraordinarily well. Like, she hasn't been like, yes, this is an important movie for the time. This should be recognized. She's playing it much more like, I can't believe this movie got nominated. I just wanted to make a passion project. And this is, you know, it's just, she's playing exactly the right note to actually get an award here. I'm just not sure what it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be director. It could be screenplay, and it could be best picture.
Let's talk about how quickly she moved into being an Academy Award winning, an Academy Award nominated director.
It's incredible.
Like, because I remember when she first kind of came onto the scene. I mean, she was in, like, I can't remember which one it is. You had Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached.
Yes.
And I don't remember which. They were the same movie. She's in one of those. Yes. And then in the terrible Arthur remake with Russell Brand.
Yes.
She was the cute. And I'm like, oh, she could. She's cute, but I don't know if she'll be a star. And now she, yeah. She acts a little still, but
yeah,
she's still in stuff.
She made that one independent movie, Frances Ha, that just got all kinds of positive run. I saw it. It was fine. I don't know. I didn't think it was as good as people, you know, were blowing it up, but that's a lot of movies, I guess. I remember her doing all kinds of small roles, and here she is now as this, you know, three nominations potentially here for an Academy Award. So, you know, there's a groundswell. Let's talk about screenplay real quick here. There's two screenplay awards for those of you who are relatively new to this. There's an original screenplay, which is totally original work, and then there's an adapted screenplay, which has prior source
just
material.
Taking a book or a story and just changing the words around and making a movie.
Yeah, just taking cheating. A book or a story. Yep, exactly. Cheating, not starting from scratch. The adapted screenplay is a slam dunk. Slam dunk. There is a screenwriter named Christopher Ivory. He has like an entire genre of film. Like, film geeks will know Merchant Ivory movies. Like, it's a specific like type of drama that is named after. He's the Ivory in Merchant Ivory films. And he's never won an Academy Award. He's like 89 years old. He wrote the adapted screenplay for Call Me By Your Name, which is the, I don't really know the background of this, but it's a little bit of a gay love tale between a kid who looks like he's 15 and a dude that looks like he's 40, which is a little bizarre, I suppose. Here we see Christopher Ivory getting his first Academy Award in Call Me By Your Name. The odds still have value, in my opinion. Like, he's at minus 1,000, but this is like a 99.
It's
just like,
it's Harold and Maude, but updated with dudes.
With dudes, yeah. And I don't know. I don't particularly think the movie has a chance to win much beyond this. It's a little bit of an uncomfortable movie, not just the gay stuff, but the kind of grooming feel, I think, that comes from the age difference between the main participants. But this particular award, I think, is a slam dunk lock. Take it home. Take it to the bank. Play it. It's minus 1,000 listed.
Thousand
it's
units.
Probably like
lead pipe.
Yes, yeah. Nuclear bomb drop, whatever your bookie will let you bet to the max on this. Or in my case, I put it as a parlay leg in a four-way parlay.
Do the latter. Don't bet things that are 1 to 10.
Even still, like, it implies there's a 90-something percent chance when, in fact, it's like a 99.99999% chance he wins adapted screenplay. Original screenplay, much more fun to handicap. This is wide freaking open, man. And this is kind of a maverick category. Like, you have winners in the past like Juno and Usual Suspects and just, like, crazy interesting movies. Like, people really do like to award the movies that are, like, fun and interesting, which would lead me to say that Get Out has a legit shot to win this. And surprisingly, it's not, it's nowhere near the top of the list here. The favorite, surprisingly,
it is the favorite.
It is. Get Out is favorite. Yeah, oh, it's moved into the favorites.
It's bounced over the past few weeks. It's Get Out.
You're right.
Billboards.
It's up to -140. Okay, I think those are fair odds. I think those are fair odds.
Shape of Water and The Big Sick are way down there, which I don't know if The Big Sick should be involved. Because it's just like the story. It's the story of how he met his girlfriend.
Yeah, is it really an original screenplay or is
it's
it
not that original? that happened to you, buddy.
Yeah, that happened.
Good movie, but.
It's a good movie, and it didn't get a lot of nominations, and I don't think this is the kind of movie that they want to do a makeup here. Oh, sorry, we didn't nominate you. Here's an award. I think you can rule out Big Sick. The Shape of Water, I heard the screenplay was not particularly well liked among the critics. Similarly for Three Billboards. I've heard critics absolutely lambast the screenplay. I've heard critics make the case that, like, you know, that these guys had their heads up their asses patting each other on the back for some of the freaking lines that they came up with for these characters to go with. And as we talked about, there's like a little bit of a mini groundswell to shun Three Billboards based on the way that the screenplay, the way that it was written and the arc of the main characters and the fact that there's not a resolution that kind of tells a more important seeming kind of conclusion here. So I particularly like Field here over Three Billboards, and it's -250. And again, this is a nice one. I got two parlay legs for screenplay. I got Call Me By Your Name for adapted to win, and I like Field over Three Billboards. And so those are two out of the four team parlay here that I got going. You got any thoughts? You think you got any action on Get Out? You think Get Out's the winner?
I worry
a little bit about Lady Bird.
I'm probably going to put a little tickler on the Get Out as far as Best Picture. I found somewhere it's close 9 to 10 to 1. There's some books. Boy, there you go. If you have multiple books, there are some wild swings from book to book to book.
Yeah, there really are. Yeah, there's opportunities for arbitrage all over the place here. I would think
-140 for Get Out to win original screenplay. You could play that flat or put that in a little parlay with like a -400. Get yourself some even money on Get Out.
I like it. As we go down, I guess the last two of my parlay. Let me round these out. Coco, Best Animated Feature. This is a no doubt. No doubt about this. So I threw that in my four teamer. And then the last one is Best Documentary. I like Faces, Places. And this is a -240. It's the favorite. You parlay this with Call Me By Your Name, Field over Three Billboards, and Coco. And I'm getting +128 odds here on my four teamer. Faces, Places. Why is this going to win? I've heard some criticism of this movie, and the reason that it's not a bigger favorite is because people think that it's important that the documentary movie has like a political position, right? It's meaningful. It's like tells like a very important story. And there are documentaries in this in the field here, like Last Man in Aleppo and, some of these other Icarus that, tell like a pretty important story.
Icarus.
Time.
Icarus was good, but
Icarus was great. I don't think it's going to win. So Faces, Places is not one of those. This is a much more human story. This is a much more kind of uplifting and positive story. If you watched all five of these documentaries, you would cry during three of them, be riveted by Icarus, and then be delighted probably by Faces, Places. Why I think this is underpriced is it's directed by Agnès Varda. She's a French film director. She's 89. She's been active in the Academy community for like 40 years, and she's taught at USC Film School. She's been the teacher and the mentor to like any disproportionately large amount of the voting bloc. And I think that comes to fruition here in terms of just you know, hey, well, I'm not, you know, I don't really care about the movie itself and how good it was and whether it's really the best, but I want to, you know, give this woman the Lifetime Achievement Award she deserves. And so I think Agnes Varda wins the Oscar here for Faces Places, and that rounds out my nifty little four-teamer here.
Five-teamer, isn't it?
Four-teamer, yeah.
Four-teamer, yep.
Coco, Field Over Billboards, Call Me By Your Name, and Faces Places. So
I had to look her up, and with all due respect to Miss Varda, she has a terrible haircut.
Oh, it's awful.
Like, her silhouette has to look like a penis. just the shittiest haircut. Okay. But I like that look. I like that, you did a little research, and she's beloved on the West Coast. I can make fun of your West Coast bias all year, I guess, but
yeah,
that's where the voting happens. So
I got a take on the technical categories here a little bit, and then I want to hear your take, because I saw you posted some of the more abstract ones that I didn't have a chance to handicap, so I'm curious what your angle is. But in the technical categories here, I don't understand why Blade Runner 2049 is the overwhelming favorite for cinematography. I think that's kind of ridiculous, to be honest. I could see Dunkirk or Shape of Water getting this over Blade Runner. And so I took Field at plus 400, sprinkled a little $25 to win 100 on that. And in general, I think The Shape of Water is going to win lots and lots and lots of awards here. I think that the voting block that is made up of the technical people in the Academy is going to basically single out Shape of Water in every single category, voting down the line. And so
I saw some stuff about the makeup and effects they did in what was it, Darkest Hour?
Yeah.
And I went and looked up that. I'm like, oh, I might bet that. Yeah, it's minus 2000. So
yeah, it's
I'm not the first person to think of that.
Yeah. Gary Oldman, if you haven't seen what they did makeup wise, turning Gary Oldman into Winston Churchill, it was pretty impressive. That one is a lead pipe lock, as well as Coco, as well as Calling by Your Name. So if you can find a place for that in a parlay, that's worthy. But I think otherwise, there are a lot of categories that The Shape of Water is going to be the winner here, potentially even cinematography. And like we mentioned, Guillermo del Toro is pretty strong favorite for director. So I'm looking for Shape of Water wins over 3.5 categories. So basically it wins 4 or more Oscars to The Shape of Water. It's plus 195. That is just too good of a price here for me to pass up, because I do think that the middle of the, you know, the middle hour where they just go crunch through the, you know, all of the technical categories, it's just going to be Shape of Water. So this is one that could be put to bed pretty early before you even see Best Director. As long as there's 3 of them, then the 4th is coming in at the end of the program for Guillermo del Toro. So over 3.5, let's fucking go. Shape of Water, E.T. with sex. Let's win some Oscars, baby.
I'm gonna bet. I like that. I'm looking up and down. I think that might catch some money for me.
Nice. The other one that I did that was fun like this was 3 billboards under 2.5. We've mentioned this a couple times now. There's a groundswell shitting on this movie. Frances McDormand is a lock, but will it win 2 more? And my guess is no. I think it's this high because there's a potential it wins Best Picture. There's a potential it wins Best Screenplay. I don't think, there's a potential Sam Rockwell wins for Best Supporting Actor. But really, you just need 2 of those 3 to be upsets. Actually, you just need either one. Best Picture or Sam Rockwell to be upset. Francis is getting it, and Screenplay is going to Get Out or Lady Bird. So really, you just need one of those 2 to be upsets, and under 2.5 comes through. It's plus 135, and so I'm taking the bait here. The Academy is not feeling 3 billboards. They shot their wad too early in the award season. Too many people actually saw the movie, and they're going to get punished for that. So Under 2.5 Oscars for Three Billboards at +135. What you got in some of these abstract ones?
I didn't really have an angle. You messaged me yesterday about throwing together an Oscar pod, so I started doing reading here and there, and I think it was an Action Network article, and then a couple other ones. I was catching some, like the silly short. What is it? Short animated short is that Kobe Bryant, that basketball poem. He just
Dear Basketball.
He reads that basketball poem. Yeah, we're gonna put that in. That's and then there is that. That's a parlay piece. We're gonna put it's like -300 now. I'm gonna have to look at what I laid on that one, but a good point. As far as like they called it political relevance, there's a best live action short. There's one about a school shooter.
Oh,
like it's a lady like interviewing a kid that was going to shoot a school or something. And then what's there's that? One about
DeKalb Elementary.
Yep. DeKalb Elementary. And then in foreign film, there's one about a tranny.
OK.
And that's hot in the streets right now. So I put my hot in the streets. Hot in the Streets parlay, DeKalb Elementary, Fantastic Woman, and the Seagulls. Jesus, what's going on there?
Oh, yeah. Where are you?
Are you at the beach?
No, it's just a bunch of birds.
Yeah, I can hear that. But, and then with Dear Basketball.
The birds.
Kobe played for the Lakers. That's in Los Angeles. True.
That is in Los Angeles. There was a lot of Laker fans amongst the Academy, I guarantee you.
Yeah. And it's a favorite. So I threw those three together. It pays like +225.
Cool.
And then I put them together with a whole bunch of other stuff this morning. Sometimes I just lay in bed and put parlays together.
Good stuff, man. All right. I like that. Okay. So you covered the small ones. I definitely didn't look at those, but I like your angles. I'm going to probably get involved in that little three-way as well. In fact, I'm betting it as we speak so we can get this in before the lines start to move as people run to get on board with Andy's parlay here. Let's get into the big boy here, and then let's wrap this up. And actually, before we get into the big boy, did you see some of these other funny ones down at the bottom here? After you go by all of the
we're talking about Five Dimes.
Yeah,
there are other books have like the bigger categories, but Five Dimes has a fucking litany of bets, like the over unders on categories that a film wins. Like you're not going to find those at a lot of other places.
So let me ask you, broadcast over or under 210 minutes, just gut feel.
Over. No, it goes over.
Over. That's -125. How about Jimmy Kimmel performs a musical number?
Yeah. What's the price? I'm not even looking at the price.
No is -245. Yes is +175.
Well, that's not the Grammys, I guess. Who knows? I'd probably leave that one alone. He's a wild card.
Yeah. How about opening monologue? I sprinkled a little on this. I went under 8.5 minutes at +130. I kind of just feel like...
I might have to do a little research on this. Yeah, I'm going to look at how long the broadcast times were. I'm sure I can find that somewhere.
In general, I think he's probably going to... I don't know. There's not a lot of jokes to be made right now. It's got a little bit of a serious feel going in Hollywood in general. I don't think that he's going to overextend this thing. So I'm going to go under 8.5. First joke about Trump, +335, worth the sprinkle?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I'd seen, wasn't there one where it was how many times he mentions Trump was over 1.5 or something like that?
It might be down. It looks like that one's gone. Oh no, it says Trump. Oh, wow. Yeah, says it over 2.5 times is +130. All right, well, okay, let's talk about the best picture and let's wrap this up and get it up for the people. This is wide freaking open. We mentioned Get Out and Lady Bird have a decent look at the prices. I don't think The Shape of Water wins. The voting is kind of funny for Best Picture. It's not who gets the most votes for Best Picture. It's literally like the instant runoff. So you have to rank these movies. And so a movie like Three Billboards, I think, is going to get severely punished because people will put it ninth because they are angry about this movie. And so I think Three Billboards right away is going to suffer from voting.
The ranking, the runoff system, how they do it. People that for sure will, you know, even though it's well above some of these other films that have no shot at winning best film, they'll put it, you know, way down at the bottom just because they hate it.
Yeah.
Put it under Phantom Thread, and that sucked.
Yeah. Because you saw that?
No, I heard like two people tell me absolutely not to watch it.
Well, I like Field over Three Billboards. And granted, now I've stacked a lot of my chips against Three Billboards in this. And so basically, if Three Billboards has an epic night, I'm going to be pretty sad. Yeah, congratulations to Three Billboards. But yeah, I like Field over Three Billboards here at minus 120. I don't think The Shape of Water is worth the sprinkle at 195, even though I think The Shape of Water was going to win a litany of awards here. They're going to split director picture, in my opinion. And in general, since they've been doing this runoff voting thing, the movie that has won the most Oscars, which I expect will be Shape of Water, has not won Best Picture. And that's just kind of like, because, you know, people.
that's the music they play when you've been talking too long.
Oh man, I'm getting cut off.
I just thought of that.
I got played off. Yeah. All right. So
I'll save that for when you're talking about the Patriots in the fall.
Okay. Who are you going to pick in the contest? Get Out or Lady Bird?
I don't know. I don't even know who I have right now. Boy, I hadn't even thought about the contest. We got the contest yet. I'm going to go Shape of Water. And then
Man. Okay. I'm going to go Get Out.
I'm going to bet money on Get Out and Lady Bird right now. Lady Bird.
All right. Well, we've been going on for too long. This has been a great podcast. Let's get this up for people. Hope you enjoyed this and you win some money in the Oscars with us, and have a great Sunday. And we will get back to sports next week.